And we are back live at NRB, the Christian Media Convention. We're here in the middle of the exhibit hall with First Liberty Live. I'm Stuart Shepherd. Thank you for watching these videos this week. We're so grateful for you for watching them, and we've been happy to be able to share them with you. If you would please share them with your friends, remember to click like and also share them on your social media or wherever you would like. We've got a couple of things to talk about. First, some breaking news on a case that just came out last night late. And then also we're going to get an update from one of our clients. So let me introduce you to Mike Berry, who is our general counsel at First Liberty Institute. He's also the person who watches over military affairs for us. And he's a lieutenant colonel in the Marine Reserve. And then we've got Kenny Vaughn, who has a business called Shields of Strength. We're going to talk to Mike first, and then Kenny will get to you in just a second. Mike, we had some breaking news in a case involving a chaplain. Give us an update on that. What happened and what's next?
Yeah, well, late last night, like you said, we got the news, the great news, that our client, Chaplain Andrew Calvert, who is in the U.S. Army, that he got a favorable decision in his case. And what's Chaplain Calvert's case all about? Well, it all starts back in January, in early January of this year, when he used his personal social media account to comment on an article that was posted by the Army Times. I think it was the Army Times, maybe it was the Military Times. And the article was about what can we anticipate with the Biden administration and what are the changes from the Trump administration to the Biden administration going to be like for the military. And one of those, of course, was the policy that existed during the Trump administration within the Department of Defense on people who have a history of gender dysphoria. And that was a service disqualifying condition. That's been that way for decades in the military. And that there was some rumors that that might change in the Biden administration. Chaplain Calvert, again using his personal social media account, said, "I, you know, look, I'm a chaplain, I'm a Christian, I don't think this is a good idea, but not, I mean, obviously from a religious perspective it's not a good idea, but look, it's also, it's just good policy, right? This is the policy of the Department of Defense, there's no reason to change it." Somebody reported him to his unit. Now, I mean, we'll get into that in a second, but remember, he's an active duty chaplain, but he's using his personal account. So he's speaking as Andrew Calvert, not as Major Calvert for the U.S. Army.
And expressing his religious beliefs.
I'm a Christian, right? I'm somebody who has religious training. This is what I believe. This is what my church believes. This is what my church teaches. And I don't think this is a good idea. And guess what? It also happened to be 100% consistent with the Department of Defense's policy at that time. So he's effectively saying, I like the Department of Defense's policy. I think it's a good policy. I think it's the policy that we should continue to have. Somebody reported him, though, and said, yeah, but I think that might offend somebody. And the Army did what, of course, the Army always does. It investigated him. And first of all, he was suspended from his duties as a chaplain. And then he had to undergo this long investigation, which carries its own stigma. And at the end of the investigation, they said, we think that he has committed illegal discrimination because of his beliefs.
Which is a significant charge.
Well, it's essentially accusing him of a military crime, right? And to me, one of the most preposterous things was that his commander hand wrote on the investigation, right? Because he recognized that, well, wait, he's a chaplain, and chaplains are religious personnel, and they have religious beliefs that inform what they do. And he said, this has nothing to do with Chaplain Calvert's religious beliefs. This is everything to do with his political beliefs. And as if just because an Army commander says so, that's what makes it so, right? That the Army now gets to determine what's religious and what's not religious. So that's sort of the backstory. And this went all the way up to a 3-star general in the Army. And that 3-star said, I'm going to issue a formal career-ending reprimand against Chaplain Calvert called a General Officer Memorandum of Reprimand, also known as a GOMAR. A GOMAR, if anybody knows who served in the military, I mean, that's a career ender. You're not going to promote. You're not going to get good assignments. Your career is effectively ended at that point.
Because of a Facebook post that agreed with the policy of the Department of Defense.
That somebody anonymously, and in my opinion, cowardly, reported to the Army, hey, you should see what this guy put on Facebook. Ooh, you know. And so this 3-star general told us, I intend to issue a GOMAR, this formal reprimand against Chaplain Calvert, but I'm going to give you one opportunity to submit an appeal to me and to present your own side of the case. And that's exactly what First Liberty Institute did. We represented Chaplain Calvert. we presented this appeal. If you want to see a copy of it, go to firstliberty.org. You can actually see the appeal that we made. You can see the legal arguments we presented, which included, hey, by the way, this was actually the law at the time. This was the DOD policy. And the Constitution, the First Amendment, federal law, DOD regulations all permit and protect service members, chaplains and non-chaplains alike, when they engage in religious expression.
So what happened yesterday?
So to bring all this to a close, yesterday we got the news that the three-star generals decided, you know what, I'm not going to issue a formal reprimand against Chaplain Calvert. This is going to, we're going to make sure that he received the proper training that he needs, but in essence, he's not going to be formally reprimanded. He's not going to have this in his permanent record. And Chaplain Calvert will be, what this means is that the path is now cleared for him to carry on his outstanding military. He's a highly decorated chaplain. He's got a very impressive record. He'll be able to continue to provide the necessary support and religious ministry to all the soldiers that he serves. And we hope that he continues to have a long and successful career.
My understanding is the reprimand that he received, which is kind of a face-saving measure, I think, by those in the military, it's not something that stays permanently on your record, right?
No, it's really the equivalent of a slap on the hand. It just effectively says, let's be careful, right? And that was the thing that they call in the military a counseling. They counsel them, just make sure that you're aware of when you post things on social media, they can be interpreted the wrong way. So really kind of recognizing you didn't do anything illegal, you didn't do anything wrong, but people can be offended by things that we post, so let's be careful.
So it's a win, it's a victory, and it's awesome that his career was not shut down by this, but that he gets to continue and do the next thing.
It's absolutely a win. As Chaplain Calvert and I discussed last night, he was staring down the barrel of the end of his career. He was looking the end of his career straight in the eye. He was already sort of talking with his family about what are we going to do next if this doesn't go the right way. And now, it went the right way. He got the favorable decision, and he's like, wow, now I kind of get to plan the rest of my career, and we can start talking about that again. So it's a huge burden lifted off of his shoulders. And at First Liberty Institute, we're very happy for Chaplain Calvert. And I will say, we commend the Army for doing the right thing.
And real quick, what's the larger issue here that this speaks into? What does it say about freedom of speech?
Well, put simply, look, no service member should ever lose their religious freedom or lose any of their rights. No service member should ever be disciplined or even threatened with discipline for simply expressing a religious viewpoint.
All right. And now all of this is based on the idea and the understanding and the knowledge that we all know this, that for many people in the military, faith is an important aspect of their lives. And that's why the military has chaplains to begin with. And, you go to the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, the chapel is one of the central bits of architecture on the campus there because they understand that faith is something that is important to the cadets. And they want at least to offer them the opportunity. You don't have to go to chapel, but they offer the opportunity for you to go if you choose to. We're going to bring in Kenny Vaughn here, who has a company called Shields of Strength, which produces, where'd you put it? You've got an example here of what it is. I want to show you what we're talking about. This is a dog tag that you guys make. Tell me just a little bit about what they are, and then we'll get the backstory on them.
Yeah, so Shields of Strength are... their dog tags, their jewelry, anything we can find to put a piece of God's word on, just a reminder of God's word, something somebody can wear around their neck and be constantly reminded of the truth when fear is always reminding us of the lies.
So what's the verse on the one you got in your hand there?
This one's Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God's with you wherever you go. And then Psalm 91 is on the backside. So two scriptures on there.
So give me the backstory of how these came to me. What led you to get into this business?
Yeah, so I often say if it had been my idea had been a good one, but it wasn't really. It was just I was a ski jumper for a good portion of my life.
Professional.
Yeah, right. And so I was chasing winning a national championship, and I was afraid. And so I was afraid probably more than most, afraid of losing. I wasn't afraid of getting hurt. I've multiple surgeries, many long trips to the hospital. I was okay with that, but I was afraid of losing, but I didn't tell anybody. When you're afraid, you just don't tell anybody. You just pretend like you aren't. And so that's what I did. But my girlfriend, she's been my wife for 25 years now, Tammy, figured it out. And, when you're afraid, when it matters the most is whenever you're most incapable. You know, it's not so hard when it doesn't matter so much, but when everything's on the line, that's when you come most undone. And so she saw that, and so she started writing scriptures on my equipment, like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or God hadn't given me the spirit of fear.
And that's on the handle for that, yeah, you held on to for jumping.
That's right. That was my jumping handle. She would write that on. So it was in my hands all the time. And so I would just say that I when I first saw it, I didn't even know either scripture, so it was really encouraging to me. But then I would say that I went from knowing it, seeing it, to knowing it, to believing it. And then finally I had to learn to act on God's word regardless of my circumstances. That was, I would say, the last hurdle. That happened in a national championship where I had taken two jumps. I had one left. I was going to jump further than I ever jumped in my life. I had damaged equipment. I just crashed on a jump. So it was like a time that I'd have been more afraid than ever when everything was on the line. And I saw the scripture, and I chose to just finish for God. You know what I mean? I just, never mind winning. I'm going to do the best I can for you, and I'm going to trust your word. And in that, the time that I'd have been most afraid, I wasn't. I finally had power, love, and a sound mind. I was finally able to use everything I spent my life training to do. I knew what to do. I just couldn't do it. I finally had the clarity to actually get it accomplished. And so my dream comes true in the worst circumstances I've ever been in. That was the biggest deal to me. Bigger than winning a national championship was the heart of a champion, or the fear finally winning that battle. So I wanted a daily reminder. Couldn't carry my water ski handle around, so I bought a blank dog tag.
It's kind of big.
Yeah, and I bought it at a local surplus shop, put those scriptures on there, and just wore it under my shirt to be a better dad, a better co-worker, better neighbor, better husband, all those things. And then I gave it away one day and made another one. And I did that a few times when I saw those people wearing them months later. And I started realizing the difference God's word made, not just in my life, but in every life.
So it's a personal connection with how the word of God can bring peace and calm to someone in a stressful situation. That seems like a very good thing to offer people.
Right. No, that's exactly right. And there's nothing like it. Nothing like the power. I can sit here and talk to you all day long. You probably won't even remember what I tell you, but if I can give you one of these and you hang on to it, and God's word goes from here into you, it'll change you forever. And so when the military started asking for them, we never reached out to the military. They reached out to us, and then we shared them and we gave them, and then other soldiers that wore, saw soldiers wearing them, they want to know where they could get some. Hey, these guys gave them to us, so we started getting more and more requests. And so it was incredible to know, because I knew the difference God's word made when you were afraid. What I couldn't imagine was how afraid you would be at war, but I just knew that it would make a difference. But the response from the military, the continued requests, the letters, the flags that they sent us, you started realizing it was doing for someone when their life was on a line and fighting for me. So it was a way for us to fight for our military.
And an important part of this is you weren't selling all of these to people in the military. You were giving them away.
Most of them we were. You know, chaplains rarely have funding. And so they would just call and say, many times they would call and say, hey, you know, we got, you know, $500. How many can we get? We say, well, how many are in your unit? There's 10,000 in our unit. Well, that's how many you can get. So, I mean, it was an incredible opportunity. I think me, like everyone else, you know, after 9/11, our troops are at war. You want to do, what can I do? And it was an opportunity to do something that I felt made a real difference.
And so, and over the years, you've given away about as many as you've sold.
Yeah.
Almost an equal number.
Maybe as more, yeah. Maybe a couple more. Million.
That's a lousy business plan, Kenny.
It actually is. It is. I'm a terrible business guy. I'll just go ahead and tell you.
Now, the crux of the case comes down to this. Because it was people in the military who were interested in them, you started putting the logos for each branch of the military on the dog tags. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so they would call and say, hey, can you know, the chaplain or the command, many times just commanders, and they would contact us and say, one of the first ones was General Austin with 3rd Infantry Division, said, hey, we want 15,000 of these for all the 15,000 soldiers in the whole division, with Joshua 9 on one side, with the American flag and our unit logo on the other side. And so that was when it got started. And then so virtually every unit in the military, I think, we had done that for.
And then the challenge came, Mike. Tell me where it came from and what the problem was that they claimed.
Well, a couple of years ago, a guy by the name of Mikey Weinstein, who is the head of a very deceptively named organization, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, sent a letter to the Department of Defense saying, hey, I noticed that there's, you know, this company out there that has replica dog tags with a, you know, Semper Fi or a Marine Corps logo or an Army logo on one side and a Bible verse on the other side. He says, you know, that violates the separation of church and state. And if you don't demand, you know, I'm demanding that you put a stop to this or I'm going to sue you. And that's in essence what his letter said. And the Department of Defense, within hours, I mean, it was within hours, they raised the white flag of surrender after, as Kenny said, I mean, they'd had this relationship for years. I mean, tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of these replica dog tags had been provided to our service members, to their loved ones, to those who want to support the military, and all because one guy sends a letter saying, I don't think you should be able to do that, I'm going to sue you. They said, oh, and they sent a letter to Kenny saying, you know, it's called a cease and desist letter. And just as the name entails, they said, you will cease making these and desist. And that's what started the legal troubles.
You're an attorney, and this is your specialty. Is there a problem with having, say, the Air Force logo and a scripture verse on the same item that's available to members of the military?
If there's a problem with it, then that problem has existed since 1776, you know, or even before that. Because as long as America has had a military, there has been religion in America's military. One of the very first things that George Washington did when he was General Washington, even back when he was Colonel Washington, was he said, I want to have chaplains assigned to my units because I understand the value and importance of faith to those who serve in the military. So that goes all the way back to the founding of our country, right, and our fight for freedom. And it's been that way ever since. And it wasn't until very, very recently. And look, here's the other thing about Shields of Strength. This is the angle that the Department of Defense is trying to use is, well, those are trademarked symbols, right? The Army logo or the Marine Corps logo, those are trademarked symbols, and we own those trademarks. Well, what people don't know is they've only had those trademarks since about 2011. Prior to 2011, nobody had to get a trademark. If I wanted to go and get a T-shirt with a Marine Corps emblem on one side and a Bible verse on the back, I could go do that. But the DOD decided, oh, you know what? We can make a lot of money off of this. If we trademark it and then make people pay us royalty payments, man, we could make a killing. So this is really about profit for them. And then when somebody came along and said, I'm going to sue you, they surrendered. And, I mean, to answer the question, though, no, there's absolutely no, I mean, the Constitution not only doesn't prohibit what Shields of Strength does, in my opinion, it protects it, right? It should be protected because this is First Amendment protected speech.
Kenny, one aspect of this story that moves me is the personal connection that members of the military and their families have to this item that you offer that becomes a source of solace and comfort to the people who wear them. Tell me a little bit about that.
So as you're saying that, what I'm remembering is there was when we started making Shields of Strength and sending them to the military, I'd say in a naive way, what I prayed all the time was that we'd never lose a soldier wearing one or a Marine or any, that we, there's just no way. But so many of them were going over there that we got a call once from a guy named, I think his last name was Hall, he was a chaplain, but he was over the morgue. And he was calling to encourage us, but to tell us it was the item they took off of KIs more often than any other, which wrecked me. But he wanted us to know that Joshua 9 on the dog tags, when they would send their remains, you know, whatever was left on their personal body to the family, that the families were encouraged by the fact that they were wearing Joshua 9. And so, yeah, the testimonies of the difference it makes in the lives of those who are fighting and their families is such that I can't imagine anyone would ever consider asking someone to stop sharing that with our military. That's selfish. That's not loving. That's selfish. And so, and I tell people, we're not fighting our military. We're fighting for our military. And God's word in a soldier's life, in a Marine's life, when he's at battle, it's priceless. And they'll tell you that. And so, yeah, it means everything.
Now, Mike, we've been in communication with the Department of Defense and others for some time now. What's the status of this right now?
Well, right now we're still fighting, and we're going to keep fighting. And as I said from day one, we won't stop fighting until Shields of Strength is able to continue to provide these sources of inspiration and hope for anybody who wants one. And if it requires us filing a lawsuit, which I hope it doesn't, but if we have to sue the Department of Defense in order to get them to buck up and stop capitulating to bullies like Mikey Weinstein, then at First Liberty Institute, we're fully equipped and prepared to do that if we have to.
Kenny, in your mind, what would be the best possible outcome of this? If this were to have a happy outcome and a victorious outcome, how would that play out?
So when all this got started, I was invited to speak at the Pentagon on two occasions. I sat down with the Secretary of Defense, with 3 and 4-star generals in the Pentagon. It was the most embrace. Like, what was incredible was that they were so embracing it because they saw the difference God's word was making in the lives of their warriors. And that's the best possible outcome, that we go back to loving our military and doing what's best for them. Nobody has to wear this, by the way. You know, it's just, if you want it, you can have it. If you don't want it, you don't have to have it. And I spoke to most every unit in the country back then, and I couldn't bring enough. If there was 2,000 soldiers in the unit, I brought 2,000. I needed 3 because they want them for their wives and their children. And so, the best possible solution is that they do the right thing and that they don't interfere with their religious freedom.
Mike, I'm going to give you the final word on this.
Well, that's exactly what Kenny said. We want the Department of Defense to do the right thing, not just because legally it's the right thing, because it's also the right thing for our country and for our troops. Right? At the end of the day, they're the ones that put their lives on the line to defend our freedoms. And the very last thing we should ever consider doing is taking something away from them that gives them that provides a source of strength, of hope, encouragement, inspiration. Right? We call these things force multipliers in the military. They're those invisible, intangible things that enable you to put one foot in front of the other when you don't think that you possibly have the strength to carry on. And that's why, you know, we it's become a cliche where we call these shields of strength a little piece of metal on a chain, and we put that in air quotes because we know that while physically it might just be a little piece of metal on the chain, it's indescribable how much more depth there is to it than that.
Mike, Kenny, thank you so much for sharing. They were here because they were presenting just a few minutes ago to folks here at the NRB Christian Media Convention. Thank you for sharing your story with them and with us. Appreciate that. If this story resonates with you and it matters to you and you'd like to be a part of the victories, we invite you to partner with us at First Liberty Institute. All we do is religious freedom. That is our focus. It's our goal is to achieve religious freedom for all Americans, to protect those rights that are so important to them. We're your last line of defense and your greatest hope for victory. And we'd like to see victory like never before in cases like Kenny's and others just like it. We heard about Chaplain Calvert earlier. You can be part of that. All you have to do is drop by firstlibertylive.com, look for the big red donate button up at the top of the page, and you can help achieve the victories that can be part of something that you get done in the world by your gift to the work that we do. This wraps up our live episodes from NRB, the Christian Media Convention. Been a good week. I've gotten to meet a lot of good people. Glad to have both of you here as well. We also recorded some other interviews while we were here that we're going to be sharing over the coming weeks, so keep an eye out for those. But we have so enjoyed getting to be part of this and to share stories with you here live from the exhibit hall of the NRB Christian Media Convention. So we'll see you next time right here on First Liberty Live.